You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
That was mean, unnecessary, uncalled for, unprovoked. Wow.
I didn't record it. Why are you looking at
me? You did record it.
No, I just played it.
Because you recorded it when he said it.
Oh, yeah, I did do that.
So you did record it.
Caught me.
I just did the dumbest OK Boomer thing ever, and I cannot stop laughing. Libby sent me a Snapchat. I'm never on Snapchat. I'm only on it because the children are on it. Every once in a while, they'll send a photo of the cat. And then I send a photo of a cat back. But I'm not on it on it. So I don't really know what it does or how to use it. I just have it because the kids have it.
All right.
So Libby, being all like hip, cool young mom, sends me this Snapchat during the break.
Snapchat's still a thing?
And it's a video. And she says a couple funny things. And so I think, well, I can figure this out. I'm walking down the hallway, Sam. And I push the record button and I say some funny things back to her. I hit send. I double check. It goes to Libby. And then I get a notification that says, you just sent that video with no audio.
Oh, you haven't given Snapchat permission to use your microphone.
You know why? Because I don't want them spying on me because I never use it. So she is literally
about to
open a video of just me in the hallway here going.
What were you doing?
So then, let's just be even more boomer. I texted her and I go, pretty sure I just sent you the world's most silent WhatsApp, Snap,
like
whatever you call it. I don't know what to call
like
it.
Like a 1950 movie.
By the way, Snapchat is still around. It is now the communication platform for the younger generation.
I don't understand it. I send photos of the cats back and forth with the kids. That's all we use.
What does one do on Snapchat?
You send videos that are permanently deleted after they are.
Oh, this is the 6 second thing.
But I don't ever delete them. I save them and then.
You can save them.
I don't even know where I bank them and save them, but if the kids say something funny or send me something funny, I save it.
That'll be in your memories reel.
Okay. I'm not adding any more. Not adding any more. My plate is already full.
I'm only on Facebook where the old people hang out.
Right next to your checkbook.
Speaking of old people, I might have to have a conversation with Mackie or somebody. This birder thing's gotten out of control.
We do need to have a talk.
I know, for real.
Borderline, it might be your turn for an intervention.
Right. So I get a text today from our buddy Brian Shelton, and he's like, hey, like all kidding aside, I'm kind of worried about you because apparently the bird droppings that have started to gather on our...
And I'm going to be the one to explain this in a moment.
Apparently it's toxic. And I did know that. Like, I'm not going to go snorting it or shoveling it. I don't know what one would do with pigeon droppings, but I'm not going to go roll around in it. But he said, honestly, Danny, you need to be careful. It's extremely toxic. And he goes, in the video that you posted, there's
disgusting.
So much out there that I'm worried it's going to make you sick. So I'm like, okay, so, good to know.
So Dana posted a video that made it onto my Facebook Reels last night or this morning, I think it was. And if you've been following along with the show,
I fed them.
Is it Bob and Marge? Is that their names?
Bob and Marge.
Bob and Marge, okay.
It's always just two of them.
Yeah, and so these two pigeons or doves or whatever the hell they are had started to make their home on Dana's balcony. And she thought it was a good idea because apparently birds have survived on this planet for millions of years but have never eaten. And
the only true dinosaurs left, by the way.
That is true. Birds,
we discovered yesterday that alligators were not.
That's right. They're descendants of dinosaurs, but they're not dinosaurs. And so anyway, Dana decided it would be wise to get some bird seed and let Bob and Marge have some...
Focus on their family.
What we would consider avian fine dining on the back patio, on the balcony. Well, Bob and Marge are apparently very popular in the neighborhood, and they have invited a number of their friends over for dinner on the balcony.
I first fed them on like Wednesday of last week. By Saturday, I saw a bird out there that did not look like Bob or Marge. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, I opened the door.
There were seven.
There's a lot
of
them.
I counted.
Someone told someone, word is out.
Word got around in a small country town that somebody's given away free food on this balcony. And now Dana's balcony, which could be a lovely, enjoyable, you know, if you drank wine, go sit out there and drink some wine on a beautiful May night. And it has literally become... Well, I'll just say it's a balcony that's covered in bird poop. And when I say covered, there's a lot.
It got a fresh paint job.
It's white.
Over and over
again. It used to be charcoal.
You know, I fed them twice. And then day three, I noticed a bird that didn't look like Bob or Marge. And then day four, it looks like that Hitchcock movie. Now I just shut the door, I lock it, and I don't go out there.
But now you can't enjoy your balcony. Well, but and
we're leaving very, very soon anyway. So, you know, experiment over. But now, I'm going to move on to hummingbirds.
How's Bob going to figure out how to forage for food again? It's almost like he's in captivity now.
I know.
And he's
going
to have to relearn how to go get
Well, if
food
you read about
March.
This, you guys, if you read about this, pigeons love humans because we trained them to be a friend of ours during the war. War times, you know, we would take the pigeon and say, hey, pigeon, take this little note to the general over there and tell him the Germans are coming or whatever we did with pigeons. I don't even know. The pigeons would go that way and then they would come back with another message and they learn to love
those
humans.
Those are called carrier pigeons.
They learn to love us. And so now they like to be around us and they're confused that we are not returning the sentiment.
So I study World War I and World War II like just about every grown man in America. Yeah. When I listen to you talk about World War I, I actually lose memorized information.
You know what I mean. We used pigeons to send confidential information to and fro and then to again.
They're called carrier pigeons.
Yes. Where is fro?
I don't know.
Fro is
the opposite
there.
Of to.
Gotcha.
I just got dumber.
They like
How does this keep happening?
Human contact. And then I provided a little bit of it, and then they told their friends, and now it is a party at Dana's house.
Okay.
Did you have to pay a deposit when you got the apartment?
Yes.
You're going to lose that deposit.
Go ahead and
because
kiss that
birds
goodbye.
Have pooped there?
Are you going to clean it?
That's an act of God. I didn't poop there.
God put the bird seed there?
No, but God put the birds there. Birds got to eat.
Well, birds do eat, and then they poop where they eat.
I will have it cleaned up, but
you're going to have to.
Yeah, I probably won't be the one cleaning it because everyone's got me freaking out about this ectoplasmosis or whatever it is.
You just need to go get a hazmat suit and a strong brush.
Oh, I am not. I assure you, I am not buying a hazmat suit.
Grab a mask. Get some of those rubber gloves.
More than ones.
All right.
Get to scrubbing.
I am not scrubbing poop.
I think, okay.
How else are you going to get it
I
off?
Don't remember what the deposit was. I don't care. It ain't worth doing that. Keep
so,
it.
So can I give you some unasked for advice?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's time that we break our ties with Bob and Marge.
Okay, I know. Yeah, it's time.
Oh, great point from the text line. I feel sorry for whoever rents that apartment next. Because those birds aren't going to stop coming back.
The birds here are so friendly.
And they're going to keep coming back expecting food from the new owner of the apartment, a condo, whatever. And they're not going to get it. And then they're going to get mad. And they're going to poop.
I fed them twice.
And poop some more.
And I'm telling you, that's all it took.
Tell the truth.
Twice. Because the second day, put a little food out there. It was the very next day I came out and there were more. And I thought, oh, God, what have I done?
Yeah.
And so I have not put any out there since.
So if you want to be nice to the birds... And I know where you live. There's a little bit of green space out there. Go put the seed out by the green space.
That's what I'll do.
Birds have great eyesight. They'll find it. They'll find. I mean, you've seen birds in yards. You're like, what are they eating? Well, they're eating food.
I'm just
in the grass.
That we got to the bottom of the mystery of whether or not birds could fly that high.
Well,
we were concerned.
I was told that they would not. And you know who told me that?
Carrie Emmert.
Michael Mackey.
Oh.
Mackie said, they're not going to come see you up there. You put food out there, Will.
We told you that birds will fly five stories if there's food. They will. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So a couple of notable deaths, one of them you heard about in Dan Weinbaum's 4 o'clock newscast, Harrison Ruffin Tyler. Okay, you've probably never heard of the guy.
Nope.
Harrison Ruffin Tyler. He was the last living grandchild of former President John Tyler.
How?
who left the White House 180 years ago. He was the 10th president of the United States. The 10th. He was born, John Tyler was, in the 1700s. This man, his grandson, died in 2025.
Now, I did say to Scott during the break, this was back when people were getting married at age 14 for a goat and a dowry and some land.
But that would be the opposite.
That would be the opposite. John Tyler would have had to have had his father way late in life.
Well, that's why I'm asking. Like, was he 80? And then his son was 80?
Well,
the math does not square.
He fathered a child at 80 and then his son fathered.
That's what I'm saying. Guy went up to people in bars.
John Tyler's
grandson of the president. And people are like,
sure you are.
Which one? And then he says, Tyler. Mm-hmm. And then most people are like, I don't even know that that was a president. And then he's like, no, really, it was. Look it up. And you know, no one ever believed him.
Often considered one of the worst presidents in American history.
Huh?
One of the worst. Only served one term. I believe it was 1841 to 1845, if I'm not mistaken. Rick Derringer also died. Who? Okay. You may not recognize the name. I did. But I'm a big music snob. You know the song Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo?
No, Scott, I'm not familiar with that song.
Are you being serious?
Yes, I'm.
You're familiar with the song?
No. Are you being serious?
Yes, I'm being very serious.
No, I'm not familiar with that song.
He played on that when he was in his band, The McCoys.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Making Love Out of Nothing at All?
Oh, please.
Okay, he played on that song. He was a studio musician mostly.
Well, good.
Sam, will you play Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo? She knows Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
Sorry, I am deep diving the Tyler family right now.
How many children were there?
So,
and at what age did they spawn?
Okay, spawn?
Oh, they spawned.
They're not fish.
So John Tyler died in 1862. His son was born. This was Lion Gardner Tyler Sr., born in 1853.
Okay.
Lived to 1935.
Okay.
And Harrison Ruffin Tyler was born 1928, so 7 years before his father died. At 1853 to 1928.
That's a lot of numbers, Sam.
75 years old.
Is when he had Harrison Ruffin Tyler?
Yes.
He was 75. Okay.
And what was your question? Sorry.
You play Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo?
No, we do not need to go back to that.
By the McCoys. Well, he played. He also produced Weird Al Yankovic's first album.
Okay.
Played in Steely Dan. Session work there, produced Cyndi Lauper, plays a guitar solo on Total Eclipse of the Heart. Is that Freedom Rock? Turn it up, man.
All right. I have no idea
nothing.
What this song is.
Nothing.
Zero. Never heard that, ever.
I'm not going to music shame you.
No,
I refuse to do that.
Okay.
I just thought everybody on the planet had heard Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm not any better for it.
And Harrison Ruffin Tyler was 96 when he died. So, yeah, it was just having babies really old.
We're just bouncing from story back to story
96?
Back to story.
96? Well, I'm sorry. It's odd.
It is very odd that the guy
that's
who was president
those, like,
180
like
years ago.
Final Jeopardy questions that nobody gets.
John Tyler was president from
1841 to 1845,
yeah. 20 years before Abraham Lincoln.
Got it.
Now I kind of put it into perspective. What does America's perfect vacation look like? According to a new study, the perfect vacation would last 11 days.
Okay.
Only 3 hours from home.
Ooh, I don't agree with that.
And cost $8,807 per person.
If you're only going 3 hours from home, what pray tell are you spending $8,000 on?
I have no idea because we went to Cancun not too long ago for 6 days and spent less than $2,000 a person. And that was a lot farther from home than 3 hours.
Wait, are they talking 3 hours by plane?
They didn't say that.
Okay. I agree with 11 days, don't you?
Well, I would love an 11-day vacation. I don't remember the last time I had one.
Well, you have to bridge the weekends is when you do that.
If you do that, you only have a 9-day vacation.
No, there's got to be a weekend and then another weekend and then maybe like a Memorial Day or something.
Would you care to guess what the...
What?
Sam, I've given up.
Well, that's only 10. We're missing a day. I got you.
The last 30 minutes have hurt.
I don't know what's going on.
Would I care to guess what? Shoot, ask me anything.
All right, what is it that people, Americans, want most out of their vacation?
Beach.
That is correct. 63%.
Yep.
What else?
Relaxation. Time with family 40, or friends.
47%. Mm-hmm. Only 47% say relaxing.
What's the point?
Vacations are not very relaxing.
They are in my world.
Trips are not relaxing. Vacations are supposed to be relaxing.
Well, when I'm in the Cancun, we don't do anything.
For most people, those are one and the same.
I work with a guy the other day who goes, well, we went on vacation to Disney. And I go, that's not a vacation. That's a trip.
No, that's hell.
He sounded dejected. He sounded exhausted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how old are they again? And he's like 3, 6, and 9. I'm like, good on you, buddy.
I mean, there is a proper number of days. I think 11 is a little bit long.
11 actually, I think, is long because...
11 is long if you're not going to Hawaii or in Europe, it's too short.
But actually, I disagree with that because I don't think I've ever been on a European vacation other than the summer after high school where I went for a month, but I didn't. I stayed with a friend at his house. I don't think I've ever been to Europe for more than 9 days. Because after 9 days, I mean, you actually want to go
home.
But
you're losing travel days. So when I think like a full work week is 5, plus weekend, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's 9 days.
Right.
Well, 3 of those days don't count. You're traveling. 3 of those days, you're in an airport. So it's really not 9. Now you're down to 7.
Where are you going? The moon?
No.
Well, and then there is additional time where once you arrive at your destination for at least 24 hours, you're thinking about where you came from, work.
Yeah.
Stuff at the house.
I think 7 days. I think 11 is probably too long. I think 7 is perfect.
See, every time I've gone to Europe, except the time I took the girls to London in 2023, I've gone for 9 days.
Yeah.
Leave on a Saturday, come back the following Sunday. Yeah,
if you're going to another country, I think that's appropriate. But 3 hours away, where are you going 3 hours a day? Anyone wants to be Iowa for 11 days?
Here are the three locations from Kansas City that are 3 hours away, and I'm not including the Lake of the Ozarks. St. Louis, Omaha, and Wichita. Those are all 3 hours away.
You can go south.
I said Wichita. Where are you going to go south? Springfield?
Sorry, you guys don't like to be one with nature, so never mind.
I like to be one with nature when it's made out of sand.
Okay. When there's a resort bartender standing behind you.
Got
saying,
a community full of birds living in my house, Sam.
Yeah, tell her about nature.
I am at one with nature all the time.
You did that to yourself.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Somebody says, Branson's about 3 hours south of here. Yeah. No, thank you. Kay in Kansas City. We've got like two topics going at the same time. Sorry about that. Hello, Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Hi. How are you?
We're good. We're doing well.
Good. So my longest trip on a vacation was a 30-day driving trip. And we did 23 states in 30 days.
Oh.
Our first stop was in Chicago. We did Chicago, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Maine, Delaware, West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama.
All right, okay, you went to a lot of states. Okay.
And it was a great trip. And we stayed a couple of days everywhere. One place we stayed about 4 days because it was the beach and we loved it. But that was one of the best trips I ever had in my whole life. And I've done lots of vacationing.
Okay, but could you really see anything in 1 or 2 days? And how did you decide?
I pre-planned everywhere we wanted to go.
Got it.
And then the things that we did on the spur of the moment were just a spur of the moment. But, you know, there were certain things I wanted to see. I wanted to see Niagara Falls. I wanted to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I wanted to see the museums in Chicago. Yeah. I wanted to go to North Carolina and see the beaches there and so on and so forth.
I love it. Okay, I'm telling you, this is the first year we ever been to North Carolina. I absolutely loved it. Or South, whichever one it was. Hilton Head, I absolutely loved it.
Leave that South Carolina.
Loved
I'm actually going there later this year for a vacation.
I would go back in a second.
South Carolina is beautiful country. It really is.
I've also never been to New England ever, not once, and that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, but I've never been over there.
We stayed in New Hampshire it was during COVID, so it would have been 2021.
I'm entering into my leaf peeping phase.
We stayed on an island on the middle of a lake that had the only way to get to it was by boat. Mm. There were no roads, no bridges, no nothing.
That's what an island is, yeah.
But in many islands, there are bridges that lead to the island. You can drive to it.
Got it.
Unlike Alaska, which you can only access by boat or plane. Mike in Overland Park. Mike, hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Dana. I used to raise pigeons.
Oh.
Back in the 70s. Yeah, I remember it very fondly. I'd let them go and they'd come home. But, I mean, I dealt in their stuff all the time. And I never got sick, Dana. So you might be able to clean it up. And it might not be as toxic as you think.
Good. And, Mike, what did the birds do for you? Did they carry messages for you or did you just like having them around?
You know, I would take them out in the country. My sister had a little playhouse, and she didn't want any more. My dad let me convert it to a pigeon pen. Now, we ended up burning that thing down. But it was great. I'd feed them no-oat chicken scratch, and they really liked it there. And then we'd take them out in the country and watch them fly home.
How did you catch them to take them out to the country?
I had a one-way door. I had this chicken wire chicken coop. Mm-hmm. And that was attached to the playhouse. You go in there, and of course, I was in junior high. I was pretty quick when I was in junior high. And you just catch them, and you put your ring finger in between their legs, and you hold them, and you pet them. They love it. It was a great experience.
I'll tell you this, Mike. I have enjoyed having Bob and Marge around to the point that a few weeks after I noticed they started coming around, I would look out in the morning, and if they weren't out there, I'd be like, aw. I mean, I actually would be disappointed if they weren't out there. What is happening?
They're throwing a rager, and they're inviting all their friends over mm-hmm. to take part in what's going on your balcony.
Let's party.
And they're going to destroy it.
It's by invitation only.
And Mike, I love your enthusiasm for pigeons. Are they pigeons or are they doves?
Well, I do believe Bob and Marge are pigeons, but people have said to me they do look an awful lot like turtle doves, but they're pigeons.
Which kind of look like, I mean, doves and pigeons.
They're similar.
They look similar. Do pigeons mate for life?
They do.
Like doves do?
Oh, I've done the deep dive.
Doves and pigeons are from the same bird family.
Aren't all birds from the same bird family?
Okay, really? No.
They're not?
Mm-hmm. No.
That's like saying not all dogs are from the same, they're all dogs. They're the same species, so they're from the same family.
Family and species are two different things.
Okay. Calm down, Jack Hanna.
Ricky in Independence, the show has come off the rails. Hello, Ricky.
Love you, love you, love you. Hey, there's an old wise tale, when cardinals appear, angels are near. And yeah. I've been studying cardinals for years, okay? And even on Good Friday, I had a cardinal fly right in front of me and set up in a tree and let out a tweet that I've never heard before. And the other night, I was sitting at my ex's table at a bird sanctuary that she has back there. And one come up right in front of my face, about 3 feet away from me on the rail. I was sitting at the table and let out a real sweet tweet. real soft one and took off.
You had a cardinal 3 feet from your face?
Yeah, maybe four, okay, but not far.
Ricky, I'm telling you, I know I know many people in my life for whom the cardinal is a great symbol of comfort. Yeah, my mom, my aunt.
They're beautiful birds.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. A lot of people think that the red cardinal is the female. That is not true. The red cardinal is the male. 913-586-7798. Very quickly, back to the vacations for a moment. We mentioned some of the things that people want. Sunny beaches, outdoors, major cities, historic locations, and amusement parks.
Oh.
Would you care to guess what ruins a perfect vacation?
Stress.
No. It did not make the list.
Like crime?
Nope. Unexpected travel costs.
Oh, sure. Delays at the airport.
Local weather. If the hotel is far from the local attractions.
That's on you. If you book a hotel nowhere near the local attractions, isn't that sort of on you, Google?
Lack of temperature control? I don't know what that means, necessarily.
Meaning it's way too hot, so you go to a beach town or you go to Seattle and it's raining the whole time.
And bad food.
Sure.
Other vacation ruiners include a bad bed. If the hotel doesn't have public amenities, not getting into must-visit attractions and landmarks.
What hotel did you go to that didn't have public amenities?
Well, but I will tell you this.
Red
Sam,
Roof Inn has public amenities.
No, it does not. I will tell you this. I am a hotel snob. At age 51, I'm not saving an extra $40. To stay someplace where I might leave with bed bugs, I'm not doing it. I would prefer a cocktail bar downstairs so if there are sports on, I can watch. But I don't need a pool. You don't need anything like that. I don't need a spa. But I want like a decent hotel.
Yeah, I get that.
If it has a sports bar, it has a pool and a spa.
A sports bar would, just not even a sports bar, but just a place you can go down, you know.
Are you sure about that? And I don't know why my voice just went up 3 octaves.
I've been to many a hotel that had all of the fancy features and no sports bar. I've also been to a couple of hotels that also featured the bar area.
But my point is when they're saying like they're bummed that the hotel doesn't have amenities, you know that when you book the hotel.
Or you should. You should know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, by the way, speaking of travel, the era of free checked bags while flying Southwest is coming to an end. I believe it ends today. Yep. Starting today, the Dallas-based carrier will charge customers $35 for your first checked bag, $45 for your second. The bag fee change, though, only applies to flights that were booked after today. So, obviously, unless you just drove up to the airport this afternoon and said, I got to get to Dallas or I got to get to Chicago, whatever. Most people, 99.9% of the people that fly have pre-booked their flight. So if you've pre-booked your flight, you're okay. You don't have to pay for your bags. But any flight booked after today, it is $35 for your first bag, $45 for your second.
We're basically losing the variety in our airlines over time. Yep. They will all just become the same thing with a different name.
Yeah. Yes, Dana. Is this another bird story?
So a flight from Minneapolis to Madison, Wisconsin was delayed Saturday after two pigeons tried to stow away on the aircraft.
Okay.
Were you on that plane?
Bob and Marge were on Delta Airlines flight 2348, along with 119 souls and 5 crew members. It was bizarre, quoting here from passenger Tom Claw. Yes, his last name is Claw. When I got on the plane, I initially heard a passenger tell a flight attendant, I think there's a pigeon on the plane. And I looked at her and thought, what's she talking about? Sure enough, after Caw finished buckling his seatbelt, he heard a commotion a few rows ahead where he was sitting. Baggage handlers were called on board to remove the bird, and the pilot got on the intercom to tell everyone, we have a wildlife situation on the plane. After the plane left the gate and was getting ready to take off, another bird emerged, quoting here from Tom Caw. It was strutting up the aisle. Someone tried to grab it. That sent the bird flying through the cabin. Video taken by Caw shows the bird flying as a passenger jumps up and tries to catch the
animal. Is the guy's name really Caw? Are you making that up?
I swear to you, person catches the animal in a jacket while a woman screams. After the failed attempt, the bird ended up in the back of the plane. The pilot asked controllers for permission to return to the gate. according to audio recorded by liveatc.net. You guys need assistance? Y'all good? Reply. There's a pigeon on the plane. It won't go away. That's a first for me. Wow. Oh, my goodness. That is insane. The plane returned to the gate. Another baggage handler was asked to come on board. It removed the second pigeon.
Remember the day we caught that bird out in the break room?
We saved his life.
We did.
I caught one last week.
Here at the radio station?
In the break room. Right, well,
how do they keep getting in?
I didn't catch it, but I assisted in the catch. I was the shooer.
You were the shooer?
Yeah, Kramer caught it.
But, I mean, to get up to the third floor, you've got to go through You've got to go through no fewer than three different doors.
That is correct. We do not know how he got in. Actually, two birds got in, one of which was found.
Oh.
Well, he didn't make it through the weekend.
He died?
Yeah, yeah. The other was flying around like a madman, and like I said,
do you think if you're a bird and you're on an airplane, you know you're flying? Mind blown.
Okay. Here's another airplane story. They're everywhere today. Airline passengers in Turkey who unbuckle their seatbelts, access overhead compartments, or occupy the aisle before their plane has fully stopped.
Oh.
What?
Keep going.
Will now face a fine under new regulations issued by the country's Civil Aviation Authority. I unbuckle my seatbelt all the time when we're pulling up. I don't get up, but I unbuckle my seatbelt. It's not like we're going to hit turbulence on the tarmac.
Oh my gosh. Tell Carrie to call in right now. You know she flies and travels for her job more than anyone in the entirety of the entirety of the world. She sends me a video last week of this new thing, Scott, and she said, I have never seen this, but someone has started this in these United States, and once bad behavior starts, it catches on, right?
Yep. Well, yeah. Sometimes.
Here is what she writes, and I quote.
Well, wait, maybe we save this till after 5 because we're coming up on the news.
In literally all of my years of traveling, I have never seen 5 to 6 people just get up and start walking around the plane before we're at the gate. What on earth is happening right now? They just got up, started walking, started opening bins, walking around, what the blank. And there's photo.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, okay,
have her call in.
Like, do you mean like, and then you read that story and that just jogged my memory. She said, I've never seen anything like it. People just got up, because to me, that's when you get the crazy flight attendant voice that goes, sit down. We're not at the gate.
And I've never stood up before they turn the seatbelt sign on. But I have unbuckled my seatbelt as I know we're getting closer to the skywalk.
I think this is a reaction that people have started to do this crazy thing, and now it's finally reached the Midwest, and I guarantee you, you're going to start seeing this.
Scott, you mentioned you're not going to hit turbulence on the ground. That plane is going to shake when it clips the wing of another plane as it is being backed or pushed into the gate area.
I actually want my seatbelt on the tightest and the longest and all of those things once it is taxiing for exactly what he just said.
I want it in the air when we
for
hit
the
turbulence.
Air traffic controller that is, you know, that is overworked and underpaid and
sleeping,
whatever. Like, yeah,
I mean, a plane lands on top of you while you're crossing a runway. You're gonna want that seatbelt on.
That's a fair point, Sam. That's a fair point. I'll give you that one. All right, let's see if Carrie can join us right after 5 o'clock.
She just got back. She literally just got back from what is the what's that thing called?
A race?
Yeah.
How many brain cells can I lose in one day?
What's it called?
Are you asking for her?
You know what I'm talking about.
Is it the Indy 500?
No, it's the other one.
The F1?
Yes.
The
F1. Yes. Right? Yeah. Florida one? Formula one.
I believe it's called the F1. Jeez. God. All right. Well, let's see if Carrie, who's just back from the can call in. We'll talk with her. And visit.
My head hurts.
All right, telephone number here is 913-586-7798. Don't forget, when you get a chance, check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can listen to it anytime you want, anywhere you go. All you have to do is go to kmbz.com. That's for the Dana and Parks podcast. And every Friday, little programming note here, every Friday at 5 o'clock, We do a little thing called Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. That starts promptly at 5 o'clock every Friday afternoon here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.